From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in today. The number of Democrats running for governor of Alaska grew to two on Monday as Anchorage State Senator Matt Klayman entered the race. Klayman has represented West Anchorage in the state legislature for more than a decade and says his experience working across the aisle prepares him well for the top job in state government.
Running for governor because I think that Alaska needs a person with my background and experience and balanced approach to doing what's best for Alaska.
Klayman is a member of the 14-person Senate Majority Caucus that includes 9 Democrats and 5 Republicans. He's chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee and in 2024 led the effort to pass a wide-ranging crime bill that Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy later signed. The bill stiffened penalties for drug dealers, among other changes. Klayman says his campaign will focus on public safety and education, and both will be priorities in his budget if he's elected.
I think we should pay an affordable dividend, but I also think we need to invest in our public schools and invest in public safety to protect our neighborhoods.
Klayman is the second Democrat to officially enter the race, following former Anchorage State Senator Tom Begich. Begich has said he plans to step aside if former Congresswoman Mary Peltola, the last Democrat to win a statewide election, enters the race. Klayman declined to make a similar commitment. Klayman also says he does not plan to resign his Senate seat to run for governor. He's the 14th candidate to formally enter the race. The top 4 vote-getters in the August 2026 primary, regardless of party, will advance to the ranked choice general election. Candidates have until June 1st to join the race. More than a dozen people without permanent housing have been camping out on Teal Street in the Mendenhall Valley. It's Juneau's largest unhoused encampment, and the city plans to force people and their belongings out of the area on Friday, ahead of the season's first expected snowfall. KTOO's Clarice Larson has more.
The sun is setting earlier and earlier in Juneau, and nearly every mountain is now covered in termination dust. The National Weather Service forecasts that Juneau will see its first stretch of snowfall this Friday. Ahead of the snow, the city and borough of Juneau gave notice earlier this week for people camping on Teal Street that they needed to vacate the area by Friday morning. The notices said the city is prohibiting camping in the area due to winter maintenance and safety concerns. Right now, the street is lined with more than a dozen campsites.
And I assumed, you know, that they would let us stay through the winter. I just didn't anticipate them doing this now. It just seemed like the worst timing.
That's Darian Bliss. He's been living in the Teal Street area in a shelter since about May. People without housing in Juneau set up camp here because it's close to social services and other resources.
So I think it's the safest, best place out of everywhere in town because they're right across from the homeless shelter anyway. And so I don't know where a better place could possibly be.
Bliss says he's frustrated with the timing of the city's eviction. He doesn't want to uproot his life again, even as winter comes. He spent the last week or so insulating his campsite and recently installed a wooden door with a lock. Campers like Bliss have few options for where they can stay. One option is the city's cold weather emergency shelter, which opened for the season in mid-October. It's located in a warehouse in Thane, about a mile from downtown and across town from the services on Teal Street. The shelter accepts anyone who comes in search of a place to sleep at night, as long as they aren't disruptive to other patrons. City officials say it's a stopgap and meant to be a last resort for unhoused people when the weather gets cold. Bliss says he doesn't plan on going there because he doesn't like how crowded it is and it's far from resources.
I don't like going out there at all. I stay perfectly fine here.
Logan Henkins is with the nearby Glory Hall shelter. He's playing music and handing out hot chocolate and coffee to people who pass by on Wednesday afternoon.
So I'm just out here this morning trying to touch base with as many people as I can, touching base with about the extended services that St. Vincent de Paul is offering on Friday to catch the people that are being displaced.
St. Vincent de Paul operates the city shelter. In light of the clearing, the shelter will open early on Friday and offer a meal. Henkins isn't the only one trying to help out. Claire Richardson stands outside her car next to a campsite on Teal Street, waiting to help a woman she met the day before move her belongings from an encampment and into a family member's apartment.
You start to realize that people living on the margins and the snow is coming and really, I don't know what they're going to do, and there's a lot of stuff here.
Richardson is with the group Reese Sisters, a local group of women who work for social justice and equality. She says when she heard about the encampments being cleared, she felt drawn to help the people who are about to be displaced.
It's going to start snowing here in a few days, and the thought of me being safe in my home sipping my hot coffee and knowing that people are living like this, well, it's just hard to sleep at night.
Other groups in town are helping out too, like the Hatuch Lachish Coalition, which is asking the community to offer storage space or funds to help those being displaced. Deputy Police Chief Craig Campbell says the police department plans to have officers arrive at 8 a.m. on Friday morning to ask people to leave the area. Then at 9 a.m., they'll start throwing people's belongings away. He encouraged campers to pack up their belongings before then.
So hopefully we've given them ample time, ample notice, and they can start making those arrangements to go somewhere else.
Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says the city will continue to monitor the area after the clearing in the event that people set up camp again. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And one Fairbanks woman is especially grateful to be home with her family for the holidays. That's after she spent a month in an Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention center in Washington State. The Alaska Desk's Shelby Herbert caught up with Achery Bunto about her ordeal and her hopes for maintaining her residency in the United States.
On a brisk, sunny afternoon in early August, Achery Bunto, who turns 43 this week, was running an errand for her mom's Thai restaurant, topping off their supply of oyster sauce. Then it became one of the worst days of her life.
Just got pulled over and they did not identify themselves until they have me in custody.
She pulled out her phone and started taking a video while frantically trying to text her family about what was happening.
I really want to know what's going on because you're like taking and trying to Hey Siri.
Ma'am.
Message my bae.
Buntow says she was told she was being detained for overstaying her visa, and then agents took her to a holding facility in Tacoma, Washington, until she was released on bail in early October. She says she was locked in a dorm with about 60 other women. Buntow says it was hard to sleep, and they weren't fed on time.
The latest night I ever got dinner was at 2:30 a.m., and I just starved that night.
Buntow was born in Thailand, but has lived in the United States since she was 11. She said she wasn't aware that there had been any issue with her immigration status, especially after she got married to her first husband, an American citizen. She's now married to a different American citizen and is the mother of six American children, four adults and two younger kids. She says the separation was hardest for them.
My 12-year-old, he was like in and out of the hospital for asthma attack. And now that I'm back, he is fine, like nothing.
She also has a 2-year-old son who relatives say would cry every night she was gone. Buntow was able to stay in touch with her family with a tablet she shared with dozens of other women in the detention center. She said those brief calls were one of her only sources of comfort behind bars. Being separated from her family was her biggest torment.
Yeah, I was, you know, depressed what they're going to do for Thanksgiving. I cook every year. Chicken, mac and cheese, sweet potato pie, and the green bean casserole. So the kids love that.
Buntow says she feels like her arrest was pretty random, but she's been convicted of a few nonviolent misdemeanors in Fairbanks over the last couple decades, as well as a felony for fraudulently applying for the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend, according to court records. She pleaded guilty to falsely claiming U.S. citizenship on her PFD application in 2014. She says that was a mistake she made while she was filling out the PFD paperwork for her children, who are American citizens. Now, she's trying to get the conviction vacated so she can stay in Alaska with her family. Over the last few months, Buntow's friends and neighbors, Fairbanks officials, and state legislators advocated for her release. Fairbanksans held a protest in her honor, and her family was able to crowdfund over $20,000 for her bail. Buntow says the fundraiser remains ongoing to cover her legal fees while she tries to get her green card. Margaret Stock is an Anchorage-based attorney who is recognized for her expertise in immigration law. She says she's seen many people in Alaska face similar situations this year, and that while the Trump administration insists ICE agents are only picking up the worst of the worst, she sees a lot of collateral damage.
What I'm seeing are a lot of people being picked up don't have a criminal record, or it's something really minor. And of course, in some cases, they're picking up U.S. citizens.
Stock says she's even working with an Alaska military veteran to fight deportation proceedings. She says the majority of people she sees ICE detaining are eligible for a green card, and that she believes ICE is putting pressure on them to leave the country by putting them in detention centers. But those proceedings can take years, and Stock says legal resources are stretched thin, especially in Alaska.
It's pretty hard to find help. I mean, there's a few private lawyers, but we're strapped thin, obviously. And then right now, the immigration judges have more than 4,000 cases per judge. So getting a hearing with the judge can take a really long time. So it's really difficult if you don't have an attorney.
That's the route Buntao is trying to take. She says she's cautiously hopeful she won't get sent back to Thailand, which doesn't feel like home to her anymore.
So I don't know anything over there. I've been living here all my life, mostly. Where would I live? Where would I go? What will I do without my kids, my husband? And I'm happy that I'm back. I'm just scared what's going to happen next.
Her husband, an American citizen who has never left the country before, is preparing to start his life over with her abroad if their worst fears come to pass. Buntao remains grateful for the time she has with her family, celebrating upcoming holidays and her 43rd birthday. But her thoughts remain with other moms she befriended in the Tacoma Detention Center who won't be coming home. ICE did not respond to interview requests before press time. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 36 degrees and foggy this afternoon. Tonight looks clear with a low of 29 degrees. Tomorrow it looks like it'll start off sunny, and then it might see some snow with a high of 38 degrees. There's a 50% chance of snow tomorrow night, and that chance gets greater over the course of the next few days. And sunset was at 3:42 this afternoon. Sunrise tomorrow will be just around 7:40. We're getting about 8 hours of daylight. You're listening to KTOO.